Documents show that the RCMP New Brunswick paid a June 2014 visit to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, to share best practices with state police and the FBI. Specifically, the purpose of their visit was related to how to police shale gas. This does raise the question, how do police in Pennsylvania police shale gas? To find out more, I spoke with Marie Cusick, a reporter with the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, WITF Public Radio. For the Halifax Media Co-op, I'm Miles Howe.
So my name's Marie Cusick. I'm a reporter at WITF for the public radio station in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I have been covering the Marcellus Shale natural gas boom since 2011. I worked previously in Albany, New York, and covered the debate there over fracking. And several years ago, came home to Pennsylvania, where I'm from, to cover the gas industry here.
For many of us in Canada's East Coast, we're more familiar with the smaller cottage industry, if that, of hydraulic fracturing, and then in many cases just sort of opposition to shale gas. But we're not really familiar with how it looks on the ground in an extractive heavy state like Pennsylvania. So I'm just wondering if first maybe you could just describe a county like Lycoming County.
Sure. Well, our shale development stretches from the western part of the state up north across the top of the state. So it's developed around, in and around Pittsburgh and then across the northern part. So Lycoming is part of the northern part of the state. It is a very rural, wooded area. There's a lot of state forests. So there's basically development. I think there's something like 900 plus pads, which are the pad sites are generally they're 5-acre sites, and you could have multiple wells on a site. And a lot of the area there is it's both private landowners that have leases with gas companies, and there's also a lot of development in the state forest system because several years ago the state of Pennsylvania leased parts of the state forest for gas development. So when the industry came in, there was certainly people for and against it. They made a lot of money or were happy with leases and happy with getting new jobs because there are not a lot of job opportunities up there. But then, of course, there was also a lot of truck traffic and people concerned about the environmental degradation. So it really is, if you go talk to people on the ground, it is a mixed bag of both. This has been a blessing for our rural area that needed jobs and needed an economic boost, but also people who are quite concerned about the disruption to their lives and their community.
Describe that balance between a pro-industry side and anti-fracking sentiment.
Well, as I mentioned, I reported in New York before I came back home to Pennsylvania, and I found the opposition to the industry was much, much stronger in New York, and it was driven by not just people from New York City, but a lot of high-profile people who are concerned about development in New York City's watershed. Obviously, New York has said no to fracking and no to the industry, but here in Pennsylvania, I think it was different. The industry came in rather quickly, and as I said, they came into parts of the state where most of the population of Pennsylvania lives in the south central part, so Philadelphia and where we are in Harrisburg, and of course Pittsburgh is a population center too. But this just happened in a more rural area where people were sort of less familiar with oil and gas extraction, even though Pennsylvania actually the first commercially drilled oil well in the world was in Pennsylvania. But since that time, most of the action has moved to other parts of the country and other parts of the world. So this really was a big sort of surprise to people. They didn't realize it was happening till it was kind of already happening. And again, there were people who felt like this is great. This is a boon to our area that needs jobs and needs economic development. But also people felt like there were landmen who were predatory and dishonest about the leases. And and the traffic situation at the beginning was quite a shock to people in rural areas. So, it really was a mixed bag.
Within the anti-fracking crowd, let's call it, are you aware of sort of militant or direct action or vandalism prone segments of that population? Does that hit the radar of news frequently?
What I know is that there have been reported incidents of vandalism, for example, like gunshots fired at gas infrastructure, or there have been reports of charred debris, sort of vague reports of perhaps improvised explosive devices. But at no point that I could tell from my reporting were these incidents ever publicly linked to activists in Pennsylvania? Certainly there have been people that have done sort of, they laid down at sites or chained themselves to things. There have been that kind of civil disobedience, nonviolent resistance that I've read about in the news, and people have gotten arrested. They've gotten arrested for trespassing, trying to stop development, disorderly conduct, that sort of thing. But the violence, I have never seen any of that publicly linked in an investigation to an anti-fracking activist here.
On the flip side of that, maybe you could speak to the degree of state surveillance that exists. What kind of apparatus exists to monitor, gather intelligence on anti-fracking activists?
Certainly, I don't know the whole scope and scale of the security situation here, but there was a group earlier this year that just settled a lawsuit with the state of Pennsylvania. They're called the Gas Drilling Awareness Coalition. And several years ago, they were erroneously labeled a terrorist organization in some state security memos. So that lawsuit was settled because the state has come out and said there's really no evidence that they should have been labeled as a terrorist group. They are an anti-fracking group, but no evidence to call them terrorists and monitor their activities. But then also there's this group called the Marcellus Shale Operators Crime Commission, which has come out through open records request. I and other reporters have found documents showing that there's just a partnership between law enforcement and the gas industry to monitor threats to infrastructure. And some activists have said, well, we feel like you're using this security apparatus to intimidate us and to try to keep us from taking photographs or walking on public roads near sites. So certainly there is a very well-founded need for security and protecting critical infrastructure, but the anti-fracking activist community is also, they've seen examples of what they feel is just intimidation from law enforcement.
I'm just curious, do you believe in your perspective that there's the need for something like this to exist? Is the threat equal to the amount of surveillance that is potentially there now?
I don't know what the real threat level is, but I think certainly here in the United States, we've had a very robust discussion going on lately since September 11th about how is the government responding to balanced security concerns and privacy concerns, because, of course, our Constitution guarantees the right to free speech. Our First Amendment is pretty sacred to most Americans. So, of course, people feel like they are allowed to protest things peacefully and speak their minds. There's a real discussion here going on about is this security response overreaching? And I think this is perhaps an example of that because, as I said, I called the FBI here. I called around to gas companies. I couldn't get anyone to tell me that they have had a violent incident with an eco-terrorist. Maybe it's happened, but if no one wants to talk about it publicly, we're sort of left with question marks about the security state.
Finally, I know it's a new development, but are you surprised that now the Canadian RCMP are visiting Pennsylvania for whatever reason? It's not necessarily clear quite yet, but what does that tell you about the potential of international information sharing?
You know, I can't say that I was very surprised to hear that. I think it is interesting. But given that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the feds here are involved, and I know from the emails I've read that there are partnerships in other parts of the United States, in the Rockies and in Texas, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, as I said, I think they do have a very clear, important interest in protecting the public and protecting critical infrastructure. That's an important job, and we rely on law enforcement to do that. It begs the question, though, like, what kind of threats are you facing, and are you overreacting in certain instances?
Is there anything else that you want to add to this?
As a reporter, I've been out doing my job, taking pictures, walking along public roads and public places, and I've been stopped and questioned by private security. And it surprises me because I'm pretty transparent about who I am and what I'm doing. I've always said if anyone stops and asks me, what are you doing? I tell them I'm a reporter and I'm working on a story. So I think, yeah, in some cases, we have gotten complaints about people being stopped and questioned. Not by necessarily by the police, but by private security forces in public spaces. So I think that it's important to recognize that these are industrial sites and they do need security and everyone needs to be safe. But you also have to respect people's rights to walk down public roads and take photos of things.